up on if you want them to order your steps. Praise him in this place. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's raise a praise. Come on, just a little bit higher. Just tell three people he's a good God. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to say what your soul has to say. How? Come on, praise him! Well, we're so excited to be in this place of worship on this morning. Amen. We certainly honor the Lord for our presence here. Amen. Can't you feel the anointing of God, the Spirit of God that is already in this place? We know that the service style or format has been modified to some degree, but the Spirit is still the same. Amen, somebody. And that's what matters most, to be where the Spirit is. The Bible said God is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Aren't you glad to be in a place of liberty on today? I want you to tell your neighbor, say, if you're not free yet, by the time you leave here, you will be free. Now, when I said that, something just broke off of somebody. Hey, glory to God. We're so thankful to the Lord. I want us to celebrate our man of God on today, this great man of God, Pastor Ibn, come on, and his lovely wife. Let's honor the Lord for them. We're in a culture that I call anti-authority. They have no reverence for authority, no respect for authority, and certainly there is no honor for authority. But if you want to be blessed, honor is the way to be blessed. What you honor, you become a beneficiary of. That's why you have to be careful where you place your honor. And certainly we celebrate this man of God. You don't get here and arrive to this place without being integral, walking in the Spirit of God. Only God could do this. The Bible says that the hallmark of a qualified elder, pastor, teacher is not preaching, but ruling. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So we're going to clap again and celebrate again. Hallelujah. For this great man of God. Come on, let's raise a praise for his life. Your future is in his mouth. Certainly to my friend, Pastor Polo, who made this connection so possible. You need people around you who can speak on your behalf. Can I get a witness in here? And I honor him for bringing me into the company of this great people. Some of you, most of you, I'm sure all of you, this is your first time meeting me. And let me say this, whenever God brings a new prophet into your life, that's because there's getting ready to be a change. Oh, by see. And I'm very clear on my assignment today. I'm not here as a pastor. I'm not here as a teacher. I'm here as a prophet of God unto you to tell about 100 of you that by the time you get home today, there's a shift coming over your house. Woo! Come on, if you're praising for it. Hey, glory! I feel a hey, hey. Glory to God. I want to share with you the word of the Lord on this morning very quickly. If you would go with me to the book of 2 Samuel. Amen. This choir has done such an amazing job singing the songs of Zion, and thank God for all of the staff who have made this visit so hospitable and pleasant. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is. You know, sometimes it's good to fellowship, but it's not too pleasant. You know, but it's good when it's good and pleasant. Amen. And so certainly the staff has done such an efficacious job making us feel pleasant and making this visit pleasant and with ease. In 2 Samuel, if you give me just a little more on the monitor. Amen. 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 Just a little more. Amen. All right. Y'all, all this wonderful equipment, we might as well use it, right? In 2 Samuel chapter number 5, on today, I want to share in your hearing, amen, in the third verse, I believe I said, in the third verse, amen. Let's look at this, verse 3, and let's read it together in chorus. You ready? Let's go. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Verse 5, in Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel. Now I want you to jump down from there and go down to verse number 12. Amen. And I will end there where it says, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people's sake. Kind Father, we thank you this morning for clarity of speech and precision of thought. I decrease and you increase. Speak a word to us today that will challenge us, change the trajectory of our lives. We praise you in the name of him that lived, died, and got up in 3 days. Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Let the church say amen. Look at somebody next to you and tell them it's a divine shift. That's what I want to talk about. A divine shift. A divine shift. A divine shift, a divine shift, a divine shift. The Bible teaches us throughout history that God deals with his people in times, seasons, and cycles. That history in some ways often repeats itself, to the point where Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's new to you is really renew. It is something that has already been done, an idea that has already been thought. Recently, I have been indulging in the pyramids and how the pyramids were made, and how scientists are baffled with the engineering of these pyramids, not just in Egypt, but in different continents and countries. They're finding pyramids that have been constructed and developed with this such technologically advanced engineering that was beyond that society's ability, seemingly, in that day. And here we are in another generation, in another season, and in another time, trying to tap into the ingenuity of a season that predates our existence, and it is because there is nothing new under the sun. God, you know, God is divine. He is the divine God, and all that he is, all that he was, and all that will be exist in him. And it is important that we understand that because God is God, and if he's already done a thing, once he does a thing, he can do it again. The enemy is trying to fight many of us from understanding that once God heals anybody, the possibilities and the probabilities for your healing has now increased. Because if he heal one, he can heal another. And this is why people were upset. The Jews were upset with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Bible said they thought not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus also. Because the enemy understands that if I can get rid of the evidence, I can stop the believers from believing. But I wish I could have been there, because I would have told him, how do you think killing one testimony is going to stop the move of Jesus? You're going to have to go on a killing spree. Because what about those 5,000 men who ate 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread? You're going to have to go back and kill all of them too. What about all of those people in the crowd that saw him, saw the woman with the issue of blood touch the hem of his garment, and she was made whole from her issue? You would have to kill all of them. And today I want to announce to some of you that God is saying the best way to tap into a fresh anointing is to remember what he's already done for you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Tell somebody, it would take all night to tell you all that God has done for me. But when my hands go up, that symbolizes just how good he's been to me. When my mouth comes open, that's symbolic of how far he's brought me from. And I'm going to give you 10 seconds to let your praise match your testimony. 10, 9, 8, I can't hear you. 7, 6, I can't hear you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! Just tell somebody, I know God's been good to me. Tell somebody, I know God's been good to me. He has been so good. And this is why you got to share your testimony. The only reason why society has gone the way that it has gone is because we stopped telling the testimony. The Bible says in the book of Judges that a generation rose who knew not the God of Israel. And they didn't know because the people stopped telling the testimony. And when they didn't hear the testimonies, they went in their own way. You got to tell your children that God healed you from cancer. It ain't no, oh, we need to keep this quiet. We don't want, no, tell them. Oh, y'all quieted here. That this car you're driving, when you grew up, y'all didn't have a car like this. Oh, I can't. You need to tell them the testimonies. Can I get a witness in here? That these nice clothes you wear now, that was a time in your former life, you didn't have a closet full of clothes. They need to know, God have mercy, it wasn't your good job that did this. They need to know it wasn't your business acumen that this is the Lord's doing. In fact, Solomon said, glory to God, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread, y'all quiet, to the wise. He said it will not be because of your education, because you can get a 4-year degree and can't get a job. If I don't breathe on it, you ain't going nowhere. But time and chance. Now hear the Lord say, tell 12 people, start praising me, because you're about to come into a new time. Oh, I can't hear anybody. I said, praise him. Just point to somebody and tell them, I know what God has done for me. He's healed me. He's delivered me. He's raised me up. He's picked me up. He's turned me around. Lord, have mercy. The me you see today is not the me I was. See, some folk got saved and you got amnesia. But let me remind you, where we are, most of us today, we're not. Somebody, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how far he's brought me. I get scared of people who get saved and you forget. Because when you forget, you become judgmental. Oh, I can't hear anybody here. There's a danger in forgetting. You used to get high one time too. There's a danger in forgetting. You're all quiet in here. Glory to God. That was a season you weren't this holy either. That's why when I come in God's house, I gotta praise him. Cause he didn't let me die in the state I was in. Woo! Shandarabosa. I wish I had somebody that would help me write that. You could have died in that house, died in that hotel, died there, but God. So he says, it's about the testimony. They didn't share the testimony. And when they stopped telling the testimony in the book of Judges, a generation emerged that rose up in anarchy. They begin to make up their own rules and do their own thing because they did not know God. We must pass the testimony down to the next generation. Oh, y'all, can I get a witness in here? You need to remind them we haven't always had cable TV. Oh, I can't hear anybody. How many remember that was a time you were the remote? Mama say turn. Come on somebody, you were the satellite. You put one hand on the antenna. Can I get... You need to remind them, get in the bed with them. Say, you remember, this is how me and my brother, we had to sleep in one bed. Y'all got your own room. This is the Lord doing. Toys are us. Toys were us. Had to make up the games for yourself. And so when you look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel brings to light a very difficult time in Israel's history. Because in 1 Samuel, it marks the failure of a man named Eli who allowed his children to commit abominable acts in the house of God. I need us to understand this because the danger in serving in any tier of service in the body of Christ is you can become too common with the holy things. And once it becomes common to you, it's unholy to God. Oh, I can't hear anybody in here. And this is why we need moments like this, like today, to bring us back to remembrance, come on here, of how we got to where we are. I don't call it old school, I call it school. Oh, y'all, come on here. Because that's where most of us got our foundation. Whether it was Baptist, Pentecostal, come on somebody, it was through the church that we got our foundation to become who we are today. So there's a problem here. The tension in 1 Samuel is not only did he allow his sons to disrespect the holy things of God, but now they have begun to operate in a spirit of nepotism, that based on your bloodline, without even being aware of where you were spiritually, we would position you, God have mercy, out of your family tie. Let me tell you something. Family can be your greatest hindrance. Because there's a dimension in the divine order that is all about God and not our natural relationships. Oh, y'all don't like that in here. Come on. Because our favoritism can hinder us from really tapping into what God has for us. And it will make you bring people with you. Come on, Lot. It'll make you bring people with you out of relationship who are ill-equipped to handle your next season. And the Lord is telling me to tell some of you that you can't take some people with you in this next season. They're not prepared for the warfare. I need some pressure on this mic. They're not prepared for the warfare, come on here, that you're going to have to handle. And if they can't fight with you, they can't roll with you. You've been running with people that can't fight on your level. You coming out with a gun. They bringing out knives. This is not a knife fight. I'm in the battle of my life. Ask your neighbor, say, are you packed with power? You got to bring people with you in this season that can fight on the dimension you're on. You become like Abraham, taking people with you out of relationship who cannot handle your warfare. And if you can't handle my warfare, you will spoil my victory. Because you don't understand how I got to this point. You will disrespect my power because you don't understand my process. The process is what produced the you that you are. You wouldn't be who you are today if it wasn't for that heartbreak, wasn't for that dilemma, wasn't for that rejection. That's why David said it was good that I was afflicted. Sometimes you need to thank God he let it fail. Sometimes you need to thank God he shut that door. Sometimes you need to praise God he didn't let it work out. So Samuel, in 1 Samuel, he has to deal with redefining the priesthood. And that's when you find Samuel, the prophet, is born to bring a shift to the priesthood. And whenever God got ready to shift a people, he always raised up a prophet. And I need you to understand this because the prophets had a great burden. You must understand, most of the Old Testament, hallelujah, was written by prophets. Have they not had the courage to write, God have mercy, the history and to write what God said, we wouldn't have a blueprint. We wouldn't have a word, Lord have mercy. And so there was a great burden on the prophet Samuel to anoint the king. And so the people wanted a king. And you know the story. Because when we don't want what God wants for us and we get impatient, we'll choose for ourselves. And the danger in choosing for ourselves is most of the time we don't birth a dream, we birth a nightmare. Oh, I need somebody to help me right there. I need somebody to help me right there. Don't you remember Abraham couldn't wait to have a child, so he went and found Hagar. And when he got Hagar, the Bible said she birthed a child, but the angel told her, this child is going to be a wild man and always be in contention with his other brothers. Because if we don't wait on God, what we birth can become a threat to our purpose. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'll say it like the old school church. Tell them, sometimes you just got to wait on God. And so now when you look at this particular passage of scripture, Samuel has anointed, glory to God, Saul to be king. And we know the story of Saul. When Saul becomes king, the people wanted him. He was the people's choice. They wanted a king, and because they wanted a king, God said, all right, if you want it, take something you anointed and make him your king. And the Bible said they took a vial of oil, a vase of oil, and anointed Saul to be king, but Saul disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, God fired Saul. And when God fired Saul, the Bible said God spoke to the prophet and said these words, how long Are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? And the Lord just told me to ask some of you, how long are you going to cry over that? How long are you going to mourn over what I never put my hand on? How long are you going to mourn over that failed relationship? How long are you going to mourn over that season of despair? Stop crying! Because you can't come into victory until the tears stop. Oh Lord, I wish I had a witness in here right there. He tells the prophet, he said, how long? I know you're upset. I know you're broken. I know you're confused. But how long will you mourn for Saul? I never approved this anyway. This was y'all's doing. This was your choice. God have mercy. And I let you have your moment first, but I'm getting ready to bust a move. And the Bible said, God said, this time I've chosen for myself. I want everybody here. The Lord said this next season is going to be an all God season. You've had your choice, but God said this one's on me. Your trouble. The last marriage you chose, this time I'm doing the choose. The last job you chose, this time I'm doing the choose. I dare 100 people to go up in 10 seconds of praise. Go! 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Shake somebody's hand and say, congratulations. You made it through the worst of it. Now God is getting ready to bust a move in your life. I feel like prophesying to tell 100 of you that before this year is out, you're about to see the hand of God touch. Shout glory! He said, watch this. He said, this time I've chosen for myself a king to reign over Israel. Now he says, arise, go to Jesse's house. I'm going to tell you the location. I'm going to tell you who he is. This will not be a season of a miss. God said, I have your name on my lips. I have your address on my mind. Matter of fact, call out your family's last name. Cause there's an oil coming. I feel a quicker to your boss. Tell somebody there's an oil coming to your house. Call that last name out again. That's the family. Woo! Shout out to both sides. So he said, I know the location and I know the person. He said, go to Jesse's house and there I've anointed myself a king to reign over Israel. He goes to Jesse's house. They try to block David. David is in the field. The Bible said they pull out 7 sons, which represents 7 seasons of missed moments. 7 seasons of missed opportunities. 7 seasons of hearing God but confused about which way to go. God said, tell you, you just came out of the 7th season. Lord, I'm going to say, I'm trying to contain myself. Tell somebody that season is over. That you had 7 seasons of wrong turns, 7 seasons of bad decisions, 7, but the season just turned. He got ready to go. He said, no, there's another one. There must be another one. He said, there must be another one here. They said, oh, we got this little boy. He in the field. He's tending to the sheep. And Samuel said, bring him here. And when God has his hand on you, there is a regime that will try to hide you. I want to talk to some gatekeepers who have been keeping the gates. Oh, God have mercy. On your job, that old trifling devil. On your job, blocking every opportunity. Can I say that I'm fine? Can I get a blocking your flow, hindering your next? Come on here, somebody. But I heard Jesus say, upon this rock, I'ma build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. Just touch three people and tell them it won't work, it won't work, it won't work. Oh, I speak to every gatekeeper, every demon trying to stop your move, every spirit trying to block your flow. The devil is a liar. Tell three people the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'm gonna come for you once. So David, Saul is fired. David gets anointed. For 14 years, Saul stays in position without the Spirit of God. Y'all don't hear this in here. God rejected him, but kept him working. Never think your service can replace your relationship with God. Oh, I can't hear anybody here. Have you? Lord have mercy. Because you can be serving and rejected. That's my greatest fear. That God will still use me and I don't belong to him. He said, 14 years, David is in obscurity. Not only in obscurity, but running from the hitman. Because now the one I'm assigned to replace can't stand me. And some of you, you're somebody's replacement. And when you are a replacement, you become a threat to the enemy. You're trying to figure out why they don't like me. They don't like you because they see the success on you that they don't see on themselves. The only reason why Saul was mad with David was because David killed the giant Saul should have killed. They mad with you because you took out what they should have taken out. And I don't understand it, because why are you upset with me when if I'm winning, I'm winning for everybody? Oh, y'all don't hear this in here. Have you ever seen people that if it wasn't for you being in church and you serving the Lord and you giving your, but they have the audacity to try to attack your walk with the Lord when if you weren't in the posture you were in, the enemy would have been taking this house out. Oh, I can't hear nobody in here. Look at a neighbor and say, tell your mom and them. Tell your whole family. It is because God's hand is on me that the whole house was not consumed. Oh, I wish I had some intercessors here that's glad you're in the right place, the right time, the right season. Open up your mouth and shout. So now, here, David is, and I'm going, David is now in this position because I'm running from the man I'm assigned to replace. But at the same time, I have to walk in a level of integrity that I don't mess up the divine order. Because even under attack, you gotta know how to suffer gracefully. How you handle the warfare will determine if you can handle the victory. Because victory doesn't mean absence of warfare. Bigger just means same battles, just on another level. Y'all. So, and you gotta be able to handle it. And David says, I'm gonna keep my integrity. He's my king. He's still in position. And though I know I'm anointed for it, matter of fact, God wouldn't even let him see what was on him. And I'll show you that in a second. Sometimes God will blind you to what's on you so you don't get beside yourself. And he'll let other people validate you. And you like, me? all quiet in here. They'll be like, she thinks she all of that. He'll use your enemies to confirm what's on you. You tell me, I'm insecure. I don't even like this. And now you got people threatened by the thing you don't like. So he said, David, what are you going to do? David runs from Saul. He even camps out with the Philistines. And you read that about how David was in Ziklag and all of that. But he even camps out with the Philistines. And the Bible said David is running from Saul. He's running from the man who sent to murder him. And then one day, the tables turn. And this is what I want to drop you today, because when the tables turn, the Bible said in chapter 4, glory to God, in chapter 4, that Saul dies. When the Spirit of the Lord spoke that to me last night on the plane, hallelujah, he said, announce to this people this morning, the threat is over. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. In other words, what was coming after you, God just got rid of it. What was sent to be your demise, the tables just turned in your favor. I wish I had 75 praisers that feel God getting rid of an enemy, getting rid of an adversary. When God is about to bring you into your divinity, into a divine shift, number one, he gets rid of the thing that was sent to destroy you. You know, just like Israel, the Bible said when they ran across the Red Sea, God swallowed up their enemies and said, these Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. I wish I had a witness in here. Hallelujah. When Jesus was born, the Bible said Mary had to hide him until Herod died. And when Herod died, they got cleared for the next season. And I want to tell you, God said, I'm bringing you into a divine shift. And in this shift, the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of what's been threatening your security, what's been threatening your marriage, what's been threatening your spirit, what's been threatening your family, what's been threatening your peace. Somebody praise him. I feel an annihilation. I feel an extermination. I tumble. Secondly, hallelujah. Secondly, the first thing he does, point number one, is he gets rid of the threat. Number two, after he gets rid of the threat, he anoints him a second time in Hebron. Hebron represents the place of fellowship, because when God prepares you for a divine shift, he first gets rid of the threat, and then he secondly brings you into new fellowships. Some of you have been dealing with outdated people, expired relationships, covenants that have become knives in your back. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. And God is saying, this next shift, I'm bringing you into people that are not going to tolerate you, but appreciate you. Just look at somebody and tell them, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. There is a welcome party about to happen in the spirit. And you had to go through enough warfare to appreciate who he's sending next. Oh, I can't hear nobody in here. I can't tell somebody, I'm getting new covenants this year, new relationships this year, new fellowships this year. Open up your mouth and shout glory. He brings brings them into new fellowship. Thirdly and finally, after fellowship, after a new connection, after new people, then he changes his identity. And this is where some of you are this morning. The Holy Spirit is saying, your problem has not been a lack of anointing. Your problem has not been a lack of word. Your problem has been lack of self-actualization. The problem is you don't really know who you are. And once you find out who you are and whose you are, there's nothing the devil can hold over you, can hold against. I wish I had somebody in here that would look at a neighbor and say, I'm more than what you see. Tell them I've been through some things. I've been over some things. I survived some things. And I know who I am. Say I. Because the Bible said that now when David comes into Hiram, the scripture says that David perceived that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. Now that confused me, because you've been anointed 14 years. You've been in battle 14 years. God gave you confirmation 14 years. But now you perceive that God has his hand on you. And the Lord sent me to tell somebody that this next shift hinges on your perception, how you see yourself. Look at somebody and tell them, I know who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a survivor. Where my survivors at? That's been through some things. Open up your mouth and praise God right now. Go find somebody you haven't talked to and shake their hand and say, congratulations, you survived the worst season of your life. Congratulations, you made it through the hardest test. Now God said, there's a shift coming over your life. Somebody shout glory. Shout glory. Tell three people, shift, shift, shift. You didn't tell them like you mean it. I said, tell them shift now. There's a divine shift coming over your family. If you believe it, open up your mouth and shout glory. A shift right there. I feel a shift right there. I feel a shift right there. I feel a shift right there. Pull somebody and say, there's a shift in my hand to bring you into new covenants, to bring you into new contracts, to bring you into new relationships. Come on, pull them and shift them. I come on, come, 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 shot. After 14 years, a shift comes. I don't know what y'all been waiting on, but God said the wait is over. I had to make sure I wrote my note down right. You know what 14 represents? Somebody say what? I'm glad you asked. 14 means deliverance. No keyboard. I want their mouth right now. 14 means deliverance. You are standing in a divine moment that's going to deliver everything connected to you. You've been in warfare. You've been in battle after battle. But today God said deliverance has come to your house. Oh, by Sheke Bahaya. Can I pray, Pastor? If you say that's me, I need this breakthrough, this breaking forth. I'm ready for deliverance over my house. Come to this altar quick.